to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And good morning. It is Monday morning, and joining us on this Monday morning is Michael Osling. He is the fellow in contemporary Asia at the Hoover Institution. He also has a book out called The End of the Asian Century, War, Stagnation, and the Risks to the World's Most Dynamic Region. So who better to give us an overview of President Trump's trip to Asia than Michael Osling? Good morning. Welcome back to the Mornings on the Mall. Michael?
Yes, hello.
Hi, there you are. How are you this morning?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
So we wanted to obviously talk to you about President Trump's trip overseas. The first thing that really struck me about this entire trip so far is he and Shinzo Abe, the president and Shinzo Abe, really seem to like each other. There seems to be almost like a budding bromance there. They really seem to get along very well. Am I misreading that?
No, Mary, you're right. This is something that the prime minister of Japan, Shinzo Abe, has worked on since even before the inauguration. As you know, he flew to New York right after the election and really wanted to get into Trump's head in a way to say, look, I'm going to be your best partner in Asia. And in general, I think he's succeeded. Now, there hasn't been any contentious issues that they've had to try to work through and negotiate. He hasn't had to say no to President Trump yet, and we have to see if they get to that point how that would work out. But clearly they feel this is an investment that is important to make, and I think they're right to do so.
Well, one thing that does come up that is a subject of, I mean, I wouldn't say dire contention, but one that the president would like to resolve, is that he feels like the trade deficit with Japan is something that needs to be fixed. The White House in their readout says that President Trump has actually mentioned it to Shinzo Abe. What do you make of that topic?
Yeah, I think, Vince, that it is something that on the president, when he looks at the domestic side of issues, this is very important to him. He's been able to, you know, in a way, create this working relationship with Abe that's encompassed security issues and political issues, and the economics has really not yet come into play fully. Now, the one thing the president did, of course, was pull out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the Japanese weren't happy with that, but they played it pretty coolly, and they sort of adopted a wait-and-see approach. One thing that President Trump's talked about is a bilateral trade agreement with Japan. It's not the Japanese government's first choice, but it's something that they're open to discussing, and that is one way you could get at trying to reduce the deficit, because you would, you know, open up markets to American goods that currently face high tariffs. That actually would have been solved in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. Now you have to figure out another way to do it. I think for the most part, when it comes to these economic issues, the president has focused on China, and as you know, he's also focused on Korea, where he has requested and the Koreans have agreed to renegotiate the U.S.-Korea free trade agreement. So Japan may be coming down the line. It's just not there yet.
I want to ask you a little bit about protocol and I guess almost more so than anywhere else in the world that you go, it seems like an Asian trip and requires that an American president be briefed on all of the protocol and sort of how you greet and how you handle it. President Trump, not one with a light touch. We saw him over the weekend. He met the emperor of Japan, and there was a lot of people noticing when Obama had done the same thing, he bowed. He gave a very deep bow to the emperor. Whereas Trump, he went with the handshake. How do you read all of that?
Well, that's appropriate, and what you're supposed to do is the handshake. You know, Obama's bow was surprising to the Japanese. Of course, you know, he bowed to the Saudi king as well.
Right.
Or it certainly looked like he did. Trump did it the right way, and you know, maybe you're lucky because you learned from the mistake that your predecessor made and didn't have to. You're right. Look, Asia is an extremely tradition and hierarchy bound and protocol bound region for all of the countries, and yet at the same time they understand that they are hosting an American. This goes back to the 19th century when the Americans first showed up, and we didn't want to do things the Asian way. And so you make allowances, certainly when you have a visiting head of state. And I think Abe did that very much. You know, they served American beef instead of Japanese beef for the meal. You know, they got into the golf cart and, you know, sort of calmly went and drove around. And so they're certainly doing their best to make Trump and Mrs. Trump feel comfortable. And I think they do that for every president. It's not just them.
What kind of reception are we going to see the president get in China? A little bit, probably not as friendly, or do you think he'll be welcome with open arms?
Well, it's really interesting because the White House is sending two messages. On the one hand, they're talking about, and rightfully so, the importance of this Sino-U.S. relationship, especially when we have to deal with North Korea, which is the great crisis of the moment. But at the same time, they're signaling that at other stops throughout the region, you know, when he's going to the Philippines, for example, he will, or South Korea maybe, he will be taking a harder line against China and talking about, you know, Chinese, you know, encroachment in the South China Sea or the trade deficit or whatever it is. And so the Chinese obviously are going to know this. So it'll be very interesting to see how both sides decide to sort of pretend that that may not be happening, because you assume that neither one wants to have any type of blow up. Now, the president is, President Trump, that is going to see a Chinese leader, President Xi Jinping, who has just come off a very successful party Congress. He has been reelected, so to speak, for the next 5 years, but more importantly, has emerged as clearly the most powerful Chinese leader since Mao Zedong. And so he is certainly feeling his oats. This is someone who feels that it is his time to shape Asia, if not the world, through things like the One Belt, One Road. So President Trump, I think, actually needs a very clear and strong policy and set of initiatives to present not only to China, but throughout Asia, to try to counter this idea that, you know what, this is really China's moment in the sun. Otherwise, it's ironic to say so, but even though he's going to be a big draw, he may be overshadowed not only by Xi Jinping, but by some of the other leaders at these Asian gatherings that he's going to.
Well, it seems like if China wants to continue to grow, then it's going to need to push back on America's sphere of influence, which is obviously growing by the day with North Korea acting the way it is. The United States has a clear pretext to have force projection in that region. And I wonder, as he goes to South Korea, there's so much tension about that visit, because he'll be visiting Seoul, well within range, of course, of North Korea's ability to attack Seoul. And additionally, talk of maybe a missile test by Kim Jong-un. What do you make of that trip? It seems like the most perilous stage of this trip.
Well, it certainly is, and there were talks about him going actually up to the demilitarized zone, and I think that's been dropped, though. Who knows, they may do a surprise visit there. It's perilous in many ways. It's perilous because you have to deal with the South Koreans and make sure that this alliance is as tight as possible. Otherwise, people at home are going to question, why are we out there protecting the South Koreans? You have to send very clear messages to the North Koreans. You have to send clear messages to the Chinese as well, This is where you're right, that China is not happy that the United States is actually getting more involved in the region. Look, we've been involved since 1945, but even more involved when we're pulled in by a crisis with North Korea. China would like us to be, you know, reducing our presence, or if they can drive a wedge between the U.S. and South Korea, or the U.S. And Japan. But this is certainly the crisis of the Trump administration, is trying to figure out North Korea. And if I'm Kim Jong-un, I'd probably want to do a test of some kind while he's there, just to show I'm not frightened and there's nothing you can really do about it. And for the most part, he's gauged the United States correctly, which is we almost never respond to these type of provocations. You know, we're getting to a tipping point where it will become clear that he has a nuclear capability and that he can target the United States. And then all bets are off as to how we respond. respond to that threat. The president has made very clear that he will not stand for it. But you read yesterday in the Washington Post a Department of Defense response to a congressional inquiry that said that, you know what, if you really want to get rid of North Korea's nuclear weapons, you will have to invade and essentially occupy that country.
All right.
Michael Auslan, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time, and we'll keep an eye on Asia. It is now.
Save big now during Menards Super Savings Sale. Brighten your home with a 3-panel LED light bulb, now just $199. Stay warm with a hardwood firewood bundle, only $399. Stock up with Clorox All-Purpose Cleaner, just $299. A 16-pack of Zest bar soap is only $7.99. Hurry, these great deals won't last long. Sign up for Menards emails to get the weekly flyer plus exclusive daily flash sales right to your inbox.
Save big money at Menards.